Session number 16730, Mr. F. Harrison, Reel 9.
Mr. Harrison, Reel 9. Whilst we're talking about the Japanese in action at Kohima, what was the most frightful of their weapons? The ones that were particularly...
What were frightened of the worst?
What was their best weapon, if you want to put it that way?
Well, the worst thing to be frightened was snipers. No good. I mean, the Japanese, would go up a tree with a bag of rice. And if there was nobody there to tell him to come down, he would stop there. Wouldn't be like us. We had snipers, but not on. We didn't use them to the capacity that the Japs used them. They were awful, and they were good shots. They were good marksmen.
And of course, you lost a man through a sniper.
Oh yes, and he had this little bag of rice, and he. Stop, and that's why the mortars helped to start scuttling a few of those, but you couldn't always do it. But apart from that, his mortar was a good machine. It was a good weapon. The only fault with the Japanese mortar was his shells. They had a very high trajectory. When they burst, very high. That's what I mean by a high trajectory. Always kept low.
They had a narrow field of...
That's right. Always spread more than theirs, went up all that. But the gun itself was beautiful. Self-oiled, the traversing gear, the elevation gear. It was all there. Well, always, you oil it yourself and everything. Far better looking weapon than ours. You could shake the barrel a bit there, as you couldn't. It was just that good a fit. And Travis, and I say it was oiling itself or keeping itself clean all the time. But beautiful weapon. But the shells were no good. And we were getting some bad shells at that time, Indian stuff. The rot of poor ammunition.
What was the fault? Was it not exploding or duds?
Even the secondary charges would go around the bottom of a bomb. If some of them, they were hopeless. They were just stopping in the barrel, they were misfires and all sorts. And even 303s, there were them stoppages with 303s, bad ammo.
And these were coming from India?
Oh, yes. It could be sabotage, it could have been anything. You don't know. It's just one of them things.
Had you much in the field? I know you lost one man through sniping, but in the position whilst you were there, did you have a lot of sniping aimed at you?
No, not a lot. We had some when we were moving with the carriers. No, the one we went over at one of. There was a. It wasn't one of our carriers, but one went over a mine and just blow the bottom where the driver was, just blow him out in the bottom of the carrier as well. They were nasty, and there were snipers knocking about there, places like that where if anybody's going to might knock something out, they were there to do the rest. But that's all. We weren't pinned down anywhere like anything like that. But I never liked snipers. You never know, and you don't hear it.
Medals, did any of your mortar people get any medals after Kohima, or for Kohima?
No.
In the battalion itself, would there be a few?
A few
medal winners?
Oh, yes. Oh, there was some there. I think Tanky Water's got something.
What are the men's reactions to people getting medals? Don't get them themselves. You've mentioned two of us who should have had them.
Well, there used to be a bit of talk about Maybe the officer's going in with his sergeant or corporal saying, no, look, I'll say that you've done this, and you'll say I've done this, and all, and that away you go. And but I don't believe half of that. It's not worth 10 lives over, surely.
Was there any jealousy between people, or because of people getting medals?
No, I don't think so. Well, there was one lad who used to be with us in the border, but he went into the companies, one of the companies, and he got the DCM. Little lad, Sergeant Robinson. He was only a corporal when he was with us, and they must have made him up sergeant in one of the companies where he went, and he got the DCM. Oh, chirpy, my size, always chirpy, I was always laughing. And he got the DCM. Just the type of bloke to get it, like, you know, happy as Chloe was.
Is there a unit comedian who keeps up morale in bad spots like this?
Mm.
Did you have them in your own platoon?
Oh, yes.
Any particular memories of?
A lad from heaven, a lad called Burns, he's smaller than me. And his mate was a Torrent. This other one used to play a centre half of the battalion, a lad called Sharvin. Well, they were, I mean, a lovely singer and all. I think part Irish, you know, he was a Catholic anyway. And he used to sing some nice songs, you know, Take You Home Again, Catherine, such things like that. And this Burns, the Canadians, they were great. You always got to laugh where they were.
And they're important in the morale situation, are they, or the spirits, keeping the spirits up?
Oh, yes. They were all right. But it was nice when things went quiet and you went back and you...
We talked about the stresses of coming out of action and being in action.
Yeah.
Where does fatigue and tiredness come in? When does that hit you?
Why you look forward to that?
Does it
you know, to get a shave, or you know, it was something with the get a shave and a clean pair of socks
so
on.
In the order of recovery, you might say, coming out of a severe action as Kohima was, what are the first points, second points for getting your vigour back again, your spirit back?
Well, you want something to eat. Everybody said, right, there's some tea on, right, we'll have a cup of tea, and we'll get a pot of tea or whatever. And that was a start, and then if you wanted to get a meal and then a change of clothing and a hot bath, you felt a new man.
And sleep and fatigue, where does that come?
Oh, if you can get a good night's rest and everything, you know, I mean, because you don't sleep in a trench, you know what I mean, especially in the monsoons. Your trench is filled with water and you're still standing in it. Oh, the conditions out there, if anybody said, wouldn't believe it. Mountbatten was in charge at that time, like the Supreme Commander. And he authorised that start of that campaign at the start of the monsoons. And we all thought, but it didn't short the jobs either. So it might have been a tactical move or what, I don't know.
Were any men, or did you see any men affected by shell shock?
No, not really. No, I wouldn't say I did. Like Gibbs Kennedy got killed at Kohima. He got there, mind those. I'm sorry to say that nobody felt sorry for him. I mean, it's an awful thing to say, but he wasn't that type of man.
Does religion come into it? I mean, you're in extreme danger. Is there any kind of religious feeling that, you know, you pray to your God, or you think of your God to save you or to bring you through?
No, I don't think there was anything like that. I'm not a church goer. I'm C of E, but I go to church sometimes if there's a wedding or a funeral or anything like that. I don't go, not like my missus she's a church goer. Never anything, you know, he didn't pray to God or anything like that. No, you just took it as it came.
So I'm thinking in terms of strong religious feeling, which got you right through the war, never mind just Kohima.
No, never anything like that. Not with me. But Catholics, I think they're more devout than what the CVs, I mean, their religion, but still at the same time, I don't think anybody went over the top, right? It's so nice to believe in something.
So when you got off the top of Kima, when your action was finished, and you say that you got washed and shaved, what happened to you then?
Well, we just had, I think, about a couple of days rest or something before we went forward towards Imphal. And there was little bits of stoppages on the way down there.
Was the Jap really running now?
Oh, they were on the boat.
There was
still a battle. There was still a battle to get into Imphal. And
was he doing anything to damage roads or mining and booby traps?
Oh yes, the booby trap buddies. As I say, there were one of the lads belonged to the battalion. The tanks were and wagons were going round them. They didn't touch him. Somebody, everybody with expertise, like to dismantle it, anything like that. I mean, it's because they're awful for that, like. I mean, you felt sorry for the lad. I know he was dead, like, but you still felt sorry for him. It was a disgrace to be laid there. You have to walk past them.
What are your feelings when you're seeing dead bodies of your own men? And you're walking as close as that.
Oh, yeah, your feelings, oh, yes. Oh, yeah, you feel sorry and everything else, but you can't do anything about it.
Is there a feeling of relief because that isn't you, you're okay? Does that come into it anyway?
Well, I never thought that way, mind. I'm not a hero. No way. But I never thought, well, please, it's not me, no way. No, I used to feel sorry for them, I did. And when you knew them, that made it worse. But,
did it make you more angry towards the Japanese when you saw your friends?
All the time. Oh, yeah. When you got to know about little things, what we're saying, we came across paper tied with barbed wire around a tree. You know, things like that were there. I mean, what good does that do anybody? The patrol went out and it just vanished. Never saw the likes of it again. They all posted mission on the Downs. Corporal Murray and his crowd.
That was the patrol led by
Corporal? No, patrol. No, they never heard of it no more.
You never found?
No. No, it's not a thing you can get used to. What it's like over there in Bosnia and places like that. It's a bit terrible.
So you're going down the road, you're advancing now. What's happening to you now?
Well, I mean, we're mobile at this particular, we're all carriers and we have all mortars and everything. And we feel a lot better after we've been fed and watered and everything else. And there was different places where you pulled up and you take up positions, and with these troops in front of you, they mop and up. And the finally make a breakthrough at Imphal, and the relief of Imphal comes. Now, once we got through Imphal and we got... Are we far? No, we're all right. Once we got through Imphal and we got over particular places where what to be. I mean, the Jap was on the move then, all right. There was still plenty fighting at different places, like. But we were static a bit at Imphal. I think we're a different commander, platoon commander by now. We're a bloke called Rollins. Well, he's not a bloke I care a great lot for, but he didn't do us any harm. I didn't care much about him.
What was it that you didn't like?
I don't know. I never had a lot of faith in him somehow. He wasn't like the other two, yeah. He wasn't a person like the other two.
Was he a very young man?
Oh, he was a young fella, youngest fella. And, he was all right, but he wasn't like the other two. I liked the other two. It came straight to me. It says your section. up that road, and I go back up the road. Neddy Gregg would tell you the same if you ever meet him. We had to go back up the road with the Bren guns and no mortars, just the Bren guns at all stands, and keep getting off the road and going into the side. There was fires burning, there was water boiling, all sorts of some of the fires. So they hadn't been long. They'd been getting away the Japs, and just make sure the road was still open, like, you know.
So you were advancing into this.
Ah, we had to go back over where we come from.
Oh, they'd come in behind you, hadn't they?
No, we'd throw the Japs, and they're advancing forward, but our officer, he must have got orders to say that the road was kept clear, or say if it was still open. And it was my section that had to do it. So I didn't take kindly to that either.
you didn't run into any problems, any trouble?
No. There was this. We knew that they hadn't been. I say that. Well, they can't have been far. I mean, there's water still boiling up. Some of the fires. The fires are still burning. You know where they'd been sitting around. So it hasn't been long. So what would have happened if we'd Sten guns would have been all right. I don't know. It's just one of them things. Patrols is not a bit. They're not very nice jobs.
Have you been on patrol?
I've done that.
The Japs.
Yeah, that one. We were on patrols down Rangoon and all. But that was on the post. But that's later.
So you had to go back to ensure that the road was still open.
No. We didn't go right back to Kahame. I suppose somebody was, you know, just to make sure the road was clear, because all your transport was coming through there then, all your rations, your ammunition, everything. Nice, good road to come round. So it wasn't so bad.
And it didn't take long, this particular...
No, it weren't out long. And, we were static there a little while in Imphal. Chance to get something to eat and all sorts, but there was still pockets of resistance, you know, further along. And the next step, I think, was going towards Mandalay. Then we nearly walked that. We were on our feet after that. Different places, stopping different places.
You say you're on your feet. Where were your mortars then?
Oh, they were in the carriers. Oh, they were in there. They were full ammunition. We never used the mortars much more than that, because we had no need. I mean, we crossed rivers and everything.
Do you recall any particular stoppage where the Japanese tried to fight you back?
There was one place, but I forget what they call it. But it didn't take long, you know. I mean, these pockets before they go down towards Mandalay, and 36 division was up there, north of Mandalay. And some of ours had been round Mandalay, but the bulk of us went further down into central Burma. Is it Mingyan or somewhere? Some Mingyan or somewhere. We flew out of there when we were down there.
Was the terrain changing that you were moving through?
Yeah, we went through the Cabo Valley. Well, that was reckoned to be one of the, for disease, one of the filthiest places in the world, that, the Cabo Valley. There was every disease known to man, I think, was in that valley. And it's funny, I mean, there was very little, you know, I mean, blokes were still getting malaria, it didn't matter where they were, especially where there was water, where they, you know, I mean, the breed on the static water and that. That wasn't a healthy place to be, like. We got through there.
Were supplies and food coming through to you all right now?
Oh, yes, it weren't too bad then.
How often did you get mail?
Oh, well, it was a long time before we got any mail. Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't think we got any mail. We got back into Chittagong. Flew to Calcutta, actually, when we flew out.
And speaking about mail in general, it would be censored, presumably.
Oh, yes. Oh, I mean, ours was always censored, because I have an old, like a aircraft I sent home, and there's quite a bit of that scratched out. What I've been saying, I don't know, I've been playing war or something, maybe. But
nothing in your memory that stands out now on this retreat, following the Japs?
No, it was, as far as we were concerned, it was pretty quiet. I mean, I don't think we fired another shell out the mortars. But they're still there as infantry, if we were needed. And the carriers, we always had the carriers. And but and there were tanks by then and all, and it became a lot easier for everybody. It was just pockets. There wasn't a lot more casualties after that at all.
What was happening to you now?
Well, we didn't go into Mandalay, because as I say, the 36th Div came, and there was an independent brigade. They came from the north and the northwest, like, and they came around there. And actually, our battalion was down the south side of Mandalay, but they weren't really, I mean, they looked completely, you know. And after that, I think it was just little pockets, and I mean, you know, if the rivers. Well, crossing rivers, our engineers used petrol drums, and we got the carriers over on these petrol drums, on the grid, watching them. Yeah.
How were these organised? How were these manipulated?
Well, they had four petrol drums, and that would float a carrier over the Uri Wadi, or the chin wind. We'll get them over there, but across the Troll River, right?
With the boards on the petrol drums?
Well, it was just like, you use a lot of bamboo. There's a lot of bamboo, which is very pliable, like, you know. And we went over on all rafts and all sorts. You know, it was a feat, it was. And then when the RA did start, they started putting bridges over to take the transport. But there they were good.
So you crossed that river, where did you go then?
Well, I think we carried on advance, and I think it was the chin, we crossed the chin wind and all, I think, we crossed the chin wind. And I think that was the last bit of opposition, I would think, we saw. And it wasn't our battalion, actually, that met the Jap, I think, it was another battalion. And we got over pretty cunning.
You must have been in pretty high spirits now, advancing rather than...
Yes, retreating. Yeah, we're all right. When you were there, I said, well, the split of all over the place now. Then we were just laid up there once over, and we were in little slit trenches, like, and not the mortar, you know, I was the mortars, but there were no mortars mounted or anything like that. And we're just in little slit trenches, and it was just like a little mound where me and my mate was. They heard this moaning and groaning. I said, well, what was that? Somebody just over there. I said, it'll not be one of ours. And just tossed a grenade over. I said, well, let's shoot them up. Anyway, it was a job. Moaning, groaning.
Had you to be particularly careful where there was a wounded Jap or a one that might have surrendered?
Oh, yes. Well, they were noted for that. I mean, they would let you handle and blow you up, yourself and all. You know, I mean, they do that. Oh, they used to wire their own up. If the Japs had time, they would stack the dead and burn them. Never had time it came. So what they did after that later on. But that's what they used to, that's what they're supposed to do, stuck them and burn them. But
so you'd have to be particularly cautious wherever they were.
Yeah. Oh yes. You never took any chance with dead Japs or anything like that.
Was it a case of taking no prisoners unless you were ordered to take a prisoner?
Mm. I think that was the order of the day. That was I mean, you left your own discretion there. If you say you want to jump or you go to tent home, no way. Maybe, you know, finish them off and have a look at them. It's still liable to go off. But they were noted for booby trapping their own. And always, if you saw them.
After the Chinwin, you say you got your, at least not your last action, but the last piece of fighting from the Japanese. Where did you go from there?
Well, we moved down to central Burma. And ORA's got the first train and that going again. There was an engine in that there, you know. And they got that moving. And we were ecstatic there. And then we flew out. I think it was Mingyan they called the place.
What date would this be?
Oh no. I went to, must have been back end of the year, I would think it was there. We flew out of there to Calcutta, I think it was Calcutta. And I think we were under canvas there. We stopped there till, well, we had to move, that would be another.
Was this a rest camp that you'd moved, that you'd flown into?
What, at Calcutta?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of a rest camp. We were under canvas. And, we got fed and washed and, you know, chained and everything else, got up for ourselves fed. And then, we were there a while.
Was it just a battalion camp or a brigade camp? Or?
Well, I think the whole division was coming out. But where, I don't know. I'm just, you know, just where the own battalion was, because you were allowed into Calcutta and that. And,
what was Calcutta like? What's your impressions?
They have a big mire dam, you know what they call it, big front or wide open space in the, towards the bay, Bengal. And there was dances going on for officers and the wives and everything else like. And I knew one lad. He went as an officer, and I knew he wasn't an officer, but but it all happened. I mean, they were quite happy.
They put the uniform on and
well, they bought it, maybe bought on an officer court or something. Nobody bothered.
And for the men, what kind of entertainments were laid on for you?
Well, I mean, there wasn't a lot of entertainment. I mean, just among yourselves. We were content that we were clean and we were being fed and could have a walk out, and it wasn't too bad, like, but you still had your weapons on handy. You never knew, not with some of these Indians, you know what I mean, it's yours, is it? Chambridge Boers or something, there was the leader of the rebel Indian crowd. You never know where they were, because they were a treacherous crowd, nor mind.
Did you have any experiences with them?
Not really, no, but we were always taught about them. You know,
you didn't see any civil unrest called when you were in Bombay or Calcutta or wherever?
No, I never saw any. No.
Did the men feel a little resentment at times when you got to places like this and officers had their dances and what have you, and it wasn't there for you?
Well, you used to chunter a little bit. I mean, you used to get there. What about us? So, you know, I would. You're not supposed to show that to privates. I mean, the privates is the same. I mean, if we had it, why should they get it, not us? So it all boiled down. You have to be careful what you said and where you said it. Else, familiar reality breeds contempt. So
you're obviously getting over the actions and the stresses that you have in the jungle.
Oh yes, and we're just preparing for a move again. You know, getting tidied up and everything else. I say that
you said it was a tented camp.
Yeah. This one. Yeah. What's the next move? We knew we weren't around going. We knew that. But